You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me once again Michael Allen. He's the president, CEO, and a director of Northern Empire Resources. He's a professional geologist, over 20 years of experience in the mining industry, and he has extensive experience in project evaluation, recently reviewing in excess of 400 gold projects worldwide. And, of course, the company he's working for now, well, I'm sure he's been a part of the selection process in terms of finding projects that he thinks has the best chance to earn shareholders a lot of money. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
No problem at all, Jay. Glad to be here.
Yes, I would just like to tell our listeners, your stock trades in Toronto under the symbol NM. People can buy it down here in the States under the symbol PSPGF, as I have. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but I have you 66.5 million shares roughly outstanding, and I saw a price earlier today, at least in New York, in the U.S. money of 92 cents, giving it a market cap of around 61 million in U.S. money. Does all that sound pretty right to you?
Yep, that's the big picture, yep.
Okay, good. Well, you know, you're sitting in a very good position with your Sterling Gold property there. You're located towards the end of the Walker Lane geological trend. It is unique. Your company is very unique because you have a fully permitted, you're fully permitted to heap leach there with your oxides, and you have a resource there too that you could put into production if you wanted to and when you want to, I guess. But that's a pretty big advantage for you, I guess, isn't it? Having that fully permitted heap leach facility available to you. You could turn it on any time, as I understand. Is that right?
That's correct. I mean, the way that we think about it is it's a backstop of value within the company. A lot of what I do on a day to day basis at the end of the day, it's about de-risking the company. And so with that permitted mine, no matter what happens, there is a business that can be developed and articulated, and given the grades, it's a very very strong business that we think would come out of it. But you look at the overall structure of the company and what we've done, you sort of see the fingers of that de-risking throughout it. It's an asset that's in Nevada.
Right.
Obviously, Nevada as a jurisdiction is one of the best. You know, if you look at the Fraser Institute, they've been top 10 probably as long as there's been a Fraser Institute ranking. And then also, I mean, it's an open pit heap leach project that's a past producer. So a lot of the technical risks have been taken out of it as well. I mean, the Sterling 88% recoveries run of mine with that incredible grade is a very interesting case. And then in the northern part of the property, in what we call the crown series of deposits, these are also past producers, and they had significant recoveries as well, and they were quick recoveries as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're mentioning de-risking. Here you've got, as you just said, Nevada, open pit heap leaching without the technical. I mean, you've already proven it's already been in production. High recovery rates, I guess when you're talking about run of mine, you're talking about material you don't really need to crush or do much with, right?
Yeah, run of mine, the term is you know, as it comes out from the mine itself. So it's the size that it is post blasting. And blasting is probably the cheapest form of crushing that you can do. So you're looking at particles that are 24 inch minus, and you know, that's about the size of a microwave oven. And you can put that material onto the leach pad, and for the Sterling you can get about 88% of the gold to come out of it.
And a big de-risk aspect of your project is the fact that your project is already up and running, and you don't have to go get it permitted and spend time and capital putting it together. So that's another aspect that I see. So, yeah,
yeah
you're,
I mean,
you're... Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, time is money. And so, I mean, to have that permitting process, you know, even in a good jurisdiction like Nevada, it's you know, between 2 and 3 years to get a permit. If you're in other jurisdictions, you know, if you're looking at a large mine in Canada, you'd probably be looking at a, you know, between 5 and 10 years as a permitting process. And God knows if you were in some of the lesser jurisdictions, you know, how long it would take to actively permit it, and whether or not, you know, whether you actually get your permit, can you actually build it? I mean, these are risk questions that people have to deal with on a daily basis. And our selection of the Sterling project as an asset for Northern Empire takes a lot of that risk out.
Now, Michael, you could turn your project on. You could start producing. What sort of grades would you have there at your Sterling mine? That's in the southern part of the Sterling Gold property. And where your heap leach project is, what sort of grades would you be looking at placing on the pads?
The resource estimate that we've got has an inferred grade of 3.6 grams per ton.
Wow!
These are metric numbers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's quite outstanding for heap leach, and then to be able to, with that kind of metallurgy, very ease of recovery and so forth. Well, let me ask you this then. Why, if you can go into production right away, you've chosen not to at this stage, and you're focusing most, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe most of your attention up in the northern part, the crown portion, what you refer to as the crown portion, where there's a number of very highly prospective and some really great drill results that you've gotten up there. You completely surround the Corvus Gold Motherlode project, which has been getting a lot of attention. That stock has done extremely well. And yours has done pretty well, too, considering the market conditions we're in. And you've had some pretty darn good assays. I mean, I'm looking at some things here that are just almost, you know, on the edge of spectacular, I would say. Talk to us about the decision that your management team has made not to produce right now, but to focus more on the exploration potential of the northern part of your property.
Yeah, and to sort of explain the logic, I'll take a step back. In 2017, we acquired the asset, and there was a lot of things that we knew, and there was a lot of things that we didn't know. And so as part of our sort of focus on theme of de-risking, we focused on the Sterling mine, and we drilled a bunch of drilling there, and really got our arms around it and understood what it is, where it's going, and we're able to again de-risk it. Now we've transitioned into 18, and we're casting our eye a bit further to a field and looking at those northern deposits, the Crown series, and working around them. So it's a working, you know, it's a well thought out business plan to go de-risk progressively and expand the resources, and you've seen you know, how the stock has performed. I think that it's a theme that a lot of shareholders understand. Now, when we've actually gone into the north, into the Crown series of deposits, these as you say, they borderline on spectacular results. I mean, we put out a hole this spring. It was 124 meters or 1.4 grams,
yeah.
70 meters of 1.79, 1.8. We just put out a hole this morning, which was a step-out hole outside of the known resource ballpark number. You're looking at probably 60 meters, 200 feet outside the known resource, and it was 33 meters or 0.6. I mean, these are significant intercepts in the state of Nevada and you know, pretty much worldwide. You know, when you're dealing with oxide resources that are close to surface and around past producers, I mean, there's considerable value that was left in the ground by people that were there in the past and mining under different regimes. The Crown series of deposits were mined at a time when gold was sort of going down from $400 an ounce to $260. And
right.
So they left a lot of value at $1,200 or $1,300 an ounce gold in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the gold price has not provided any wind at your backs or the backs of anybody, and yet your stock has performed quite well. You have, I believe, about four different targets up there. Do you see these as these are separate targets, or there might be some combination between them, or what is your thought? What are you thinking in terms of the size and scope of these deposits?
In my mind's eye, and this is subject to change by engineering, the Sterling mine is a standalone operation, and then mm-hmm. the Crown will bundle together into one operation. Mm-hmm. That's how it was done in the past. There are two separate operations, Sterling and what they called the old Daisy mine. The wild card in this is sort of what you've alluded to, is there's Corvus there as well. And mm-hmm. so we've got three deposits in the Crown and then Corvus is there with Motherlode. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of a very interesting thing. It vaguely feels like an early days of AUAX and Frontier in the Long Canyon trend, which is a very interesting transaction for shareholders of those companies.
Yeah, it certainly was. People made a nice piece of change there on that. But I mean, you have the SNA, the Shear Zone, the Daisy, and the Secret Pass. It's very interesting, and you're right in the middle there of next to, between your Secret Pass and SNA is the Corvus, which is getting all kinds of attention. And they seem to be expanding a little bit to the west now, I see, but boy, they don't have too far to go.
No, it's a relatively small land package. I think that property is 11 claims, and it's about, I'll call it 0.6 of a square mile. And then there's our property, which is 141 square kilometers, or about 95 square miles, if I'm doing my math correctly. I mean, it's they're contained within us, and if they are able to expand it, that's great, because it just gives us more information on where we should drill on our side of the line.
With just a couple of minutes left yet, your 15,000 meter drill program, which you're nearing an end to and expect to complete it, as I understand it, early in the summer. What did you expect to accomplish with that, and how would you sum it up? Is it going as good as expected?
I say it exceeds expectations. The mm-hmm. goal was to get our understanding of the northern deposits up, and then mm-hmm. also frame out the next phase of drilling and expanding those resources. So it's interesting. We've been able to step out from all the resources and hit, as we discussed earlier, there's the up dip holes from Daisy. We hit twice, and they continue to expand that. And we're suggesting that there's stacked zones there. So it'll be interesting to see in mm-hmm. the future. Then at Secret Pass, which is sort of the middle deposit in the Crown, we stepped out 200 meters from the known resource and hit a hole that was 38 meters of 0.95. It's
good.
It's a big step out and a big intercept. And so there's more work to be done. So our plan was this year sort of to frame out where we could see expansion opportunities and then mm-hmm. be able to come in later on in the fall for a larger drill program and really start to bang off those resources, or bang off the drill holes, and then lead into a resource update for sometime in 2019.
That's great. You just answered the question, then. What do you expect to do next? And I think, you've just answered it. Well, that should be very exciting if you can start to fill in some of the space between these deposits. Just real quickly, at your share structure, who owns your company? And maybe just a quick comment on your management team, because you've had a very successful track record, yourself and other key members of your management team.
Yeah, I'll go with the management team first, and obviously there's considerable wins that have been made for shareholders. You look at Doug Hurst, who was a founder of both Newmarket and International Royalties. Collectively, they were sold for $1.7 billion. Newmarket was sold to Kirkland Lake Gold, and that company has continued to perform, largely based on the Fosterville asset, which is what they bought from Newmarket. We also have the team that created Kaminak, which is John Robinson mm-hmm. and Jim Peterson. And
sure.
There's also the Underworld team, which is a story that is probably 8 years ago, because that story, that transaction funded my wedding. But that also, that asset is called White Gold, and that's now being resurfaced up in the Yukon.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And your shareholders, yeah. who owns your company primarily? Management has a chunk, I know.
Management has a chunk, and then the single largest shareholder is Coeur Mining, and they're the U.S. Silver producer that your listeners will know. They've got I believe it's 5 mines in the Americas: Kensington, Rochester, Wharf, Palmarejo, and oh god, I'm missing the last one. But they're a very interested shareholder in us, and obviously they like it for the same reasons that we do. The grade, mm-hmm. It's Nevada, it's something that you can permit and build and go forward.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I think this is really an interesting story, and I hope our listeners will follow up on it. There's a lot of information on your website. Of course, as a newsletter writer, I follow it, write about it as often as there's some significant news that comes out. So I want to thank you very much, Michael, for being with us. Anything, one last word, anything else you'd like to just say before we conclude our discussion today?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that need to be, that we are active. I mean, it's a difficult time in the gold space for juniors to be able to access capital and be able to put news out. And you look at what Northern has been able to do with the management team and the asset, being able to raise money and be able to judiciously spend it in order to increase shareholder value, is something that the team here is very proud of.
And are you funded for the fall program, or will you need to go back to the bank, to the well?
Right now, we've got about $13 million in the till.
Wonderful. Excellent. Okay. Good note to close on. Thank you very much, Michael, for being with us, and we'll look forward to keeping up with your story going forward. All right, folks. Thank you very much. You bet. We're going to break now. When we come back, John Rubino will be with us to discuss some of the same topics we just talked to Michael Oliver about: the dollar, gold, interest rates, and those kind of topics, along with oil, which is what we were going to talk about before it did a reverse to the downside. Don't go away. We'll be right back with John Rubino.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Noble Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Karratha region of Western Australia, where they are currently drilling and trenching their Perdies Reward Project. In addition, Novo has partnered with Sumitomo Mining Corporation to advance its Beaton's Creek Gold Project toward production. With over $70 million in cash and strong shareholder support from the likes of Kirkland Lake Gold, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.